VIP. Let's kick it. This is Jake Taylor, Fear the Beard. You're listening to Below Zero Radio.
What is up, wrestling fans, and welcome to your post-Winter Slam edition of Below Zero Radio. And two, I would say my right, but you're basically just right in front of me, BCW Commissioner Nick Stokey. Nick, buddy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm tired. I'm good. I'm full of adrenaline, but we're doing good for a Monday afternoon.
I feel like it would be hard to be not good, right?
It'd be a darn near impossible right now.
It would be almost ungrateful,
right?
It would be almost ungrateful for to be fantastic.
I don't even know if grateful is a good enough word. Like, you know, where we're at, where from this last weekend.
Well, let's hit where we got to last weekend, and let's touch upon the news.
You got fancy.
We're hot in the streets.
Yeah. BZW News, I don't know if there's any bigger news than the news. I mean, one, we just saw a news article, another one coming out on us here tonight on Valley News Live.
We are over.
But I mean,
as the kids say,
the biggest news is that we just had Winter Slam and we just hit 1,000 people, like true number.
You're jumping ahead.
What are you talking about?
I put this together. It's right there.
I can't see the screen. All right, fine. Back. All right, go for
anyway,
it.
Anyway,
I'm listening.
Tremendous. By the way, I can't even remember the order of what we're doing here. This is
maybe that's why I did it, because I'm still like brain fog after this weekend.
The voice of BZW right here, your host, Showtime Rocky Allen, joining me, BZW Commissioner and co-owner Nick Stokey. When we talk about being hot, we're not just talking about social media. We're talking about old media, and we don't mean that to be disrespectful. We mean that with the utmost thanks. Mm-hmm. KVRR was there, and when there was a story, getting this probably on a Tuesday, there's a story on Sunday. Valley News Live ran two stories, including one that I would borderline call a promotion piece, as far as came out on Friday and helped our ticket sales and you know, put money in the pockets of people that are working really hard, and just hard to talk about how thankful we are for that. I had the opportunity to go on KFGO, which is about the biggest bullhorn you can yell into in this region. I mean, unbelievable, the opportunity to do that the day before the show. And then, as you mentioned, shattered our attendance record. Wanted to perform in front of a four-figure crowd, and we did.
Yeah, and not like some people would say, well, you know, in wrestling, you always jump it up a little bit. Like, this was a legitimate four-figure crowd, because I this is what we wanted. This is what we planned for. This is what we've always said. Hey, we think we can do this. Yep. And it's one of the reasons we went to the Butler Arena to a venue that can hold them. Yep. And the Butler Arena was perfect. It had big fight feel.
And I bet they're pretty pleased with us right now.
Yeah, everyone there loved it. We worked very well together with them. Like, they were just on the same page. Yep. We were on the same page. You know, it was just from an event like standpoint, from setting up to tear down to all that through them at the Butler Arena, I got to give all thanks and credit for them. They were as big as the part of this event as anyone.
I totally agree. Yeah. 100% agree. Next show, Dickinson, North Dakota, the King of the North.
King of the North.
There will be a tournament to crown the King of the North. We haven't done a tournament in a while. We've done battle royales, haven't done a ton of tournaments. So that's fun.
Yeah, we've done two tournaments always at our Taco Fest.
Sure.
At the Digital Taco.
Rest in peace, Taco Fest.
Yeah. That's news. Breaking news. Breaking news, there will not be a Taco Fest this year. Unfortunately, no Dia del Taco in general. Hopefully Jade Presents doesn't get mad that we just said that, but
whoops.
But yeah, we're going to crown King of the North, and we got some really fun entrants into there. It's going to be four of BZW's like biggest names, you know, in terms of you know, the homegrown talent, all that stuff. Plus, you know, another few matches of just real, really good wrestling.
And it's cool, too, because it's in conjunction with the King of the North powerlifting event that's out there, which will be, you know, cool, fun for people to check out. And not necessarily we're saying that these guys are in the tournament, but confirmed to be there, the returning Gina Rivera.
Correct. Yeah, that's maybe the biggest, you know, talent announcement for it. Yep. But then also, the last time we had a tournament was Mentolo. And sure. You know, Mentolo is going to be there as well.
Okay.
And so we have a tournament winner. We have Gino. We also have the new Sub-Zero champion, Jake Taylor.
And you can't do the King of the North without the Ice King.
Exactly.
Jack Ledger is going to be there fresh off of his win. And something that we will talk about here. And I just want to take the opportunity. I said this, I think, maybe off air to Jake. And while I was so tremendously grateful and it was a very cool moment for me to be in the ring, I felt borderline uncomfortable because when I did the announcement of the attendance and they started chanting BZ Dub and I was the only one in the ring, I kind of felt out of place. It's like, I've busted my butt plenty, but like, I should not be the guy that's in the ring. It should be Jack, or it should be Nick, or it should be Zach, or it should be Sly, or it certainly shouldn't be me. So I'm going to kind of shut up and just sort of allow you to kind of reflect and I would say just speak on what we just witnessed and what we just saw.
Yeah. You know, I've thought about this event since we essentially started BZW. And what I mean by that is I thought about being a part of the Fargo community and offering, you know, something that is, sorry, my phone rang. So that's my phone that you use. Bringing something to the Fargo community that can mean so much to them and not just like, hey, we're a wrestling production or promotion, come and see it. So fast forward from 2021 to now we're in 2024, our third Winter Slam. Me and Zach have put on 25 events prior with help with amazing people like yourself and everyone else that's been part of it. We're now on event number 26. Here's Winter Slam number three. We are going to be at 23 one day. And the emotions that were part of it leading up each day got closer and closer, and the emotions are, my anxiety is a little higher, my stress is a little bit higher, and a lot of it was in a good way, though.
Yep.
So it's not like it was a bad thing, and I took the time, we were fortunate to be able to set up before the event.
That was clutch, by the way.
So clutch.
I don't know how many venues care how much we enjoyed that, but that was pretty cool.
So here I am, about 10 o'clock the night before, and we posted the picture on social media, and I went up and sat in the bleachers, and I sat down, and we didn't even have all the chairs up because we had some of them were under lock and key. The Butler Arena had left. Like, I'm sitting there by myself.
Yeah.
And I look down, and it's like this calm, like, tomorrow's the day,
yeah.
You know, and it's just really hits you, and then the day comes, and like it's like an adrenaline, just the absolute most adrenaline high that you can think of.
Yeah.
You know, seeing constant fans come through that door once the doors open at 4:30. I know no one got a picture of it or a video, and it would have been great, but when I walked out of the doors at like 4:15, 4:20, just to actually just go use the bathroom, I have to walk through the ticket area.
Yeah.
And like the 150, 200 fans are like chanting BZW. And it was like,
well, we did get a BZW chant again.
Yeah.
And so
I think we got a couple of them.
You know, hopefully, like I said, there's video of that, not because I think it's cool that I was in the ring, because I think it's cool that people cared that much and people wanted to show us love in that way. Okay.
I got to give one more thing here.
Go ahead.
No, so
go ahead.
Into the event, what it meant, you know, I saw people that I haven't seen for 10 years.
Sure.
And they're coming up to me going, this is beautiful. This is amazing. For who's ever listening that may have been at the event, for any talent that was part of this, for anyone that had the littlest thing, if you dropped off a bottle of water for someone, like, thank you. Yeah. That locker room has become more than a locker room. It's become a place of, you know, friendship and family and friends that, you know, just are out to do the exact same thing, and that's to put on an amazing event. And I'm not just talking about wrestlers and referees. I'm talking about ring crew. Like, my ring crew, this was the best ring crew I've ever had, and I was missing some of my key people. So, like, they knew where to step up. They knew what to do. So, I mean, we had, you know, to the 1,000 people that were there, to the 200 people that helped out in other various ways, it's, like, from the absolute bottom of my heart, thank you.
Yeah, and we all feel that way. And I will say, too, from the absolute gong show that was that Jamestown show.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't mean that. I don't mean that in any other way than, like, anything that could have been, that could have gone wrong, did.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Summer Night's main event was a bit like that.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the wrestling gods smiled upon us and said, you will have a Winter Slam.
Yeah.
And that's how it felt.
You know,
it was just blessed.
I keep telling people that it was like beautiful chaos or beautiful insanity. Like, it was that too, because it was so, like, everything worked perfectly to
right.
create this, like, perfect wrestling. I mean, I don't know. I would have said something to, like, the news people just so more people knew about it. Not like I'm trying to toot my own horn here. That's bigger than any wrestling event in Fargo outside of WWE.
Yeah, ever.
I don't know if TNA drew 1,000 people when they came. So
sure,
here we are, like, 1,000 people.
Yeah,
and we're not WWE.
No,
and I give credit to everyone outside or within BZW for that.
And I said that too, and we'll get into the show recap because we don't have a ton of time here. But no. You know, I said that to the news crew when I just said, look, we really appreciate John. We really appreciate Maven. All that stuff is awesome, but they are not the show. The show is Bobby. The show is Jack. The show is Jake. The show is Brandon Nitro. The show is Sierra. That's what Below Zero Wrestling is. And I think that really proved to be the case during the show. But we need to get to the actual matches so that you may get on with your day. Sierra absolutely smashes Alvin Falcone in the opener, and I don't want to keep this short as, like, disrespect to Sierra, but there wasn't that much to that match. She
beat him up.
She beat him up. And yeah. I would say we mentioned this going in. I think she's got to be looking at some sort of a run at something. And right now, with everything that happened between Jake Taylor and Sly Fox, I don't know if that's for her to grab a tag partner, because right now it sort of looks like the Crucible is looking for a challenger after another defense, or I mean, it might just be the freaking BZW championship, because, like I said, Jake sort of seems to be intertwined with whatever's going on with Mr. Incredible and with Mr. Fox. It is getting very, and not that we were ever ignoring Sierra, but she is now to the point where she can no longer be ignored from a what's next standpoint.
No, I mean, another extremely quality victory.
Yeah.
And like, another great match, like, going out there and showing her skills.
Yeah. I mean,
in her career, she's wrestled more guys than girls.
And yeah,
I mean, so she's not, like, she could go to any of those titles that you just mentioned. Like, you don't have to have a women's title for her. You can just have.
And we probably won't.
And we won't.
Yeah.
We won't.
Yep.
You know, she was the first. She's actually one of the, like, the handful of images that are stuck in my brain right now. And I'm going to probably make this. When she's standing on the turnbuckle.
She did her pose.
Yeah. There's 1,000 fans. Like, just. And it looks like. I'm sorry, but it looks that she should be on TV.
It looked like TV.
She should be on TV.
Yep.
And she's showing it in the ring every single time, and I will continue to sing her praises.
As you should.
It. And now I'm probably going to have to put her on a title match, because what else am I supposed to do when someone just keeps beating every single person you put in front of her?
We'll keep this one relatively short as well, because we have him in studio.
Yes.
And are going to do 25 minutes on what's going on with him. But Jake Taylor over as Rover, and I say, like, I don't mean this to be mean or dismissive at all. I couldn't believe how freaking over he was. And I don't mean that, like, he doesn't have a good character, or he's not well-known or what. I mean, he was just hot.
Yeah.
And that was so impressive and so much fun.
Yeah. Taylor is as over as anyone. You know, when he comes to the ring, the fans just eat him up.
Yes.
And, you know, it's Fear the Beard and Jake Taylor and this and that, and was very happy for him. This was a career defining moment for him, and obviously you get into it or whatever, but you know, thank you to DeLorean for being two 275 days as a Sub-Zero champion, and no one deserved it as much as him. And if you were to ask him, hey, you know, who's going to take the title? He didn't want Nick Nelson. I mean, he didn't want anyone to take it, but he didn't want, you know, Tommy Dugan or Nick Nelson or anything like that. He, you know, they embraced afterwards, and so.
Right. And a lot of respect there. And I'm going to talk to Jake about the job that DeLorean did as the champion.
And I don't even want to mention that three-letter name of a jerk that interrupted
him. Well, we will. We're going to have to talk about it. We're going to have to talk about it. Shout out, though, and he's going to get uncomfortable when we say this, but I got to give a ton of credit to Zach. Zach, because as much as we like to present this podcast as some of the connective tissue, if you don't make it to every show, we give you what happened, we give you what we think is going to happen, and we try to keep the story as one. If you're not a podcast listener and you weren't at the last show, those video packages are everything from an emotional investment standpoint. And he just nailed it. He nailed it all night, and specifically nailed it with the Jake Taylor one. And I know Jake talked to me after the match, and he was just so appreciative of that, because he felt like the level that the crowd was behind him had a ton to do with their investment in the story.
You know, the production for this just went above and beyond, and you know, Zach doesn't get a lot of the spotlight.
He's uncomfortable with some of it.
You know, because he's always back at the music, the production table, and everything like that. So, and if there is someone in the face of the power of BZW, you know, it's been me.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you're listening to this and you ever run into Zach or something, just tell him thank you, because he deserves it as much as anyone.
Okay. Awesome celebration. Mm-hmm. Great moment. Goes to each corner. Crowd's eating him up. Sharp dressed man hits. Sly hits the ring. You know, I talked to Taylor a little bit. He mentioned, like, not buying it. At no point did he buy what Sly was selling. But he did buy that Mr. Incredible might come out of the ring entrance and not from behind him and beat the absolute hell out of him. And that's sort of what we got. Looks like Sly's guys, as we had sort of talked about, were kind of whittling away. You had the incident with Matthias and with of course, Mac, and then, you know, completely leaving. And, well, okay, maybe he's got a little bit of traction because he brought McCully Rose and the system back to Horace, but then they lose. And we're not seeing it Winter Slam at all. So it's like, who are Sly's guys? Well, now it's one of the most physically intimidating people in the company in Mr. Incredible. And there's going to be some unfinished business there, and definitely a look forward at what could be next.
Yeah, it you know, Sly's always got something up his sleeve. And why Incredible did that, why he decides to go with Sly, I think we're going to find out, you know, because we don't have the answers 100% for that. I mean, we know why. The ultimate goal is BZW title, you know, in some way, shape, or form. But Incredible hasn't been that type of person in BZW. You know, he hasn't been that monster heel. Like, he hasn't had a lot of those anger issues or anything where it's like he's showing that aggression. And so Sly got to him. Had to have. Did something. And I'm assuming that we're going to hear from that eventually. But, yeah, and all of a sudden we have a very, very, very powerful...
It was a different Mr. Incredible, because I've interacted with him before, and
it's a way different
Mr. Incredible. Amanda and I hit the ring, but we understood that there needed to be some sort of an intervention there, and I looked at Ink and said, "Get out of the ring." And I'm six foot one, 220. Like, I'm not a tiny man, and he looked at me like he was gonna rip my head off of my shoulders and said, "Make me."
Yeah, and you're like, no, I'm okay.
I'm good. I'm all good. I'm all good. Yeah,
Jake Taylor can't make you at this
point
right now. I'm not going to do it either.
Him is 3 degrees of black belt. I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm interesting to see what happens here.
The TLC match was everything we could have hoped it would be. Crowd constantly hot. There were guys in the back, and you'd hear a pop, and they'd go, dang it. And they'd poke their head out like, what did I? And so, you know, when you're popping the crowd to the point that the guys in the back are pissed that they weren't peeking out of the curtain to catch whatever was happening, you know, it was an awesome match and, just something very cool. Like, it would have been awesome, of course, to be able to suspend the titles over. We've now failed at the title on a versus contract on a pole concept and failed at the suspended title concept. We will get there someday. Maybe at our next venue, but
Butler Arena halfway through, we're like, no, we can, Yeah. Christian, the head operations manager over there, he's like, nah, we'll figure this out next time.
Perfect. There you go. So ladder match in the future, maybe at Winter Slam 4.
Yeah, why not?
There you go. But yeah, the ladder spot where the ladder didn't give, that was a hell of a bump that Brixton took there. You got a guy powerbomb another guy, threw a guy through a table, which was super fun. But ultimately, look, 24 Karat Honey brought what we thought they would bring. Royal Flava brought what we thought they would bring. But now we're in an interesting position. As I mentioned, you know, you never know. Could Jack and Bobby tag? And we'll get to that in a second. Could Sierra be looking for a tag partner? The road without NDS, and I get that NDS wasn't the whole tag division, but the road ahead without NDS, now that I think Crucible made a pretty darn emphatic statement at Winter Slam.
Yes.
So it's like, what does the tag division look like now that they beat down 24 Karat Honey and Royal Flava and did it in the TLC format? Their next, I think, challengers is an interesting aspect of where we're going to go moving forward.
Yeah, we have some work to do to figure out where we're going to go with this tag division. And before we get too far, I want to go step back just to the match.
Go ahead.
The match itself, the part that probably was the best for me, the match as a whole, but I'm standing hard cam side, so I'm over by the bleachers. Elbow, you know, the seasoning hits the elbow, and they start the holy shit chant.
Sure.
And like a 7-8-year-old kid looks up at her dad, and he gives her okay.
Yep.
And she starts chanting, holy shit.
That's amazing.
Because it was...
That's amazing.
So everyone was invested. And it was, yep. it was a great match that did exactly what it needed to do. You know, 24 Karat Honey, they were as game as could be. They just haven't had a lot of time in BZW while they've done some other stuff. So that could have been, but... You know, going back to what's next, Royal Flavor came back through there with a little bit of an attitude, like not in a bad way by any means, but I don't think that this is the end between those two.
Fair enough.
But I also think there's got to be some others.
And anytime, too, in a triple threat, when your team isn't the one that gets pinned,
yeah,
you have that attitude, I think.
Yeah, and they were as close to beating them as anyone has.
Yes.
So it might not be the next match for the Crucible with Royal Flavor, but I they're gonna cross
that matchup. It's
gonna happen again. They're gonna work their way back.
We have, and you know what? I'll leave it till the end of this conversation. They did it. Any concern, whether it was a safety concern, whether it was a you've never done this concern, we've never done this concern. They stole the show, and I don't mean that to be rough on the Sub-Zero championship match. I don't mean that to be rough on the TLC match. I certainly don't mean that to be rough on the main event, guys. Jack and Bobby stole the show.
Which they've done a couple times.
Absolutely. I think that was a strong push forward for something that I truly believe in with this company, which is long-term storytelling and indie wrestling, which is kind of rare.
Yeah.
It's not every indie promotion that will do it. Those guys told a 2-year story.
Yeah. Yeah, and they embraced it.
Yep.
And they went with it. You have it was about family. It wasn't just about them. It was about their mom pacing. I joked with her that she got her 10,000 steps
in. You
gotta
sit down.
Yeah, she doesn't sit down. She doesn't stop. Done with the match. She couldn't go hug her boys, and I'm right next to her. She turns around. I have a wet spot on my shoulder when I'm done with this match because she's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. Like,
yeah,
you know, but the match itself, even leading up to that, you know, was great. You know, those guys just work so well against each other. They're able to counter and they're able to physically, you know.
And they don't miss a spot. They can both just go. They're so good.
Yeah, they both are, you know. And
the crowd was so into that match.
Loves it. And then you end it with Jack, and Jack's in the back telling me, like, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to moonsault. And I said, just do it quick.
Don't look. Just go.
Just get up there and do it. I said, if you get the opportunity to put the match away and that's how you're going to do it, then just do it. And he goes, I'm going to do it if I get a chance. And here he is, Bobby Jack 5 feet over the top of the cage, and he hits Bobby with it, and they end it. And, you know, I don't know what their plan was at the end of that match, if we were going to, you know, if they were going to, you know, are we making up? Are we not? Like, that kind of thing. And then the crowd is chanting, hug it out, hug it out, hug it out. And, I mean, there's probably more to this story that we'll eventually get to. But that emotion inside that ring between Jack and Bobby at the end of that match was 100% genuine. And when they came through the curtain, it was just, it was crazy. It was, anyone there could feel it.
It, and here's, and this is how deep, and they talk about it a little bit. And that, I just gave away the ghost there, but
I was trying not to.
Guys, we have a 59-minute conversation between me and Jack and Bobby that we were going to lay some of these video clips over, but we also have shots of all three of us talking. 59 minutes on this trilogy that is going to be some of the best indie wrestling content you guys have just ever seen.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think, too, that there's a chance that the, yep, that the finish of that match might have been a little bit of a tribute to Cody Rhodes, because it's insane how much that looked like him off the top of the cage against Wardlow in Atlanta.
Yeah. Cody loves moonsaulting off of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jack had to.
Wrapping this up really quick, because we do have to go here. They hugged it out. Very interesting to see what's next. I'll just kind of take the rest of these as we get into Jake here. You know, is Bobby a face? Is Bobby only cool with Jack? You know, is he still kind of angry at the world?
It's,
but
it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, you don't transform your body into where he's gone and his personality and everything to just be like, okay, I'm done.
Right.
With right. That.
Yep. Joey over Mac. I think Joey's probably looking at Brandon Nitro. That's where my head's at. But the question is he behind Sierra in line? That's interesting to me, because those two had it out in Jamestown. Joey didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra did. Now Joey's back in the winner's column. He has beef with our champion, so there's a reasonable path there, but he could be behind Sierra in line because she beat him 1-2-3.
Yeah, it's
worth watching.
That 100%, stay tuned. That's a very good top two to have, you know, yeah. Challengers.
Absolutely. Okay, and finally, the main event. I made my Fargo in-ring debut, very, very fun, and was able to announce the attendance, which was just an amazing moment, not just for me, but
1,011?
Yep. And the crowd chanted BZ Dub and of course, you know, getting of course to introduce Fowler, but to get to introduce Morrison was quite the thing. And I consider now Brandon a friend, and, mm-hmm. and to get to introduce him and toss him bangs at the end was I pitched that idea to you and you just walked away with your fingers in your ears.
I sometimes when it's just, I've said it before, and certain guys in the back are better at it than others, but just ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
Just ask for forgiveness.
Morrison's still super over, though. His horn hit. People went crazy. That was awesome. And then the match itself was exactly what we thought it would be. All three of those guys can absolutely tear it up, and they did.
Yeah.
When it does come out, and it will, we'll put it on Facebook, YouTube, whatever. Like this show, parts of this show at least are going to make it. We're going to make sure that happens from a video editing perspective. Check out the main event, because it was an absolute electric factory. Brandon wins with the money shot, which is his big splash over the top rope. The crowd loves him, celebrating with bangs, all that. And the last thing I'll end this with, because as we mentioned, we got to get you out of here. I just wanted to say thanks to John and then, of course, to Maven, who we barely even mentioned here. Yeah. Morrison put everybody over on the mic at the end, put Fargo over, put our talent over. And of course, was willing to work.
And didn't take it easy because he was in Fargo.
Right.
That he wasn't on TV. Like, that's what the John Morrison that you get on TV.
Yep. And I thought Maven did an excellent job as the host. And honestly, I appreciated both of their patience with the meet and greet. That was such a high attendance number for us that their meet and greet lines were super long. And I just wanted to thank the both of them.
They each did almost 3 hours of meet and greets. Maybe more.
Incredible.
That's insane. Like, They both made sure that everyone that wanted to got to say hello or get an autograph or a picture. Like, if you want to talk about guys that are TV figures or, you know, wrestling superstars, if you're going to have someone on the show, have John Morrison and Maven. Like, don't even hesitate. Like,
100%.
Don't hesitate.
All right, we are going to get Nick the heck out of here. And up next, your new Sub-Zero champion, Jake Taylor. Bringing on now and new Sub-Zero champion, Jake Taylor. Jake, buddy, how are you?
I am fantastic, Rocky. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Let's start from the show aspect.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, Nick and I just talked about it, and he got emotional, I got emotional.
Oh gosh, you have no idea.
Okay, so let's go back in time. When was your first Below Zero event? What when did you wrestle for BZW first?
I was at their first show.
You were on the first show.
I was on the first show. I've been here from the beginning.
So how many people do you, that was the Sanctuary?
That was the Sanctuary.
How many people do you think were at that event?
I think that was like 200, maybe 220. I mean, I would have to check back to actually look at the footage.
Sure. So to give you,
it wasn't completely sold out, but it was close.
Sure. So the sellouts there are like 330. Does that give you some kind of perspective?
Yeah. So, I mean, there were some, actually it was pretty full. So I think the only thing that wasn't like sold a little bit was the mezzanine.
Okay. Well, that's cool. And so. I'm trying obviously to kind of bring us to like how far we've come.
No,
and
absolutely.
You know, we've both been at a Wahpeton show with 110 people. Mm-hmm. We've been at a Horace show with 150 people. We've been
to the county fair shows that we'll pull 10 and then 50 will show up and then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, let's go, let's roll.
So we had like 600 seats sold Thursday afternoon.
Wow. I remember hearing from Commissioner Nick that the night before we had 625, and I was like, that is ridiculous. That is amazing.
And we definitely want to thank KFGO. We want to thank Valley News Live.
Absolutely.
And we love you wrestling fans, but you are by nature also procrastinators.
Walk-ups.
But the late push, and then we've always talked about the dream as being 1,000 people.
Yeah.
The late push to go from, like you said, 610, 625, to us, you know, counting 1,011 people in that building.
1,011 people.
And like your moment, right? The one that caught me and it caught Nick, the opening match, you know, Sierra does that thing where she puts her arms out.
Yeah, yeah.
And looking from behind her, it was like, this looks like TV.
I know.
How amazing was that environment?
It was absolutely fantastic. It was electric, you know, not to be poetic, but it really was. The amount of people there, everyone came out to see a wrestling show, and it was a great, amazing time. Everyone was cheering, like, from the beginning to the very end, you know, and sometimes it's hard to keep an audience's attention throughout the entire show, but I think everyone that was on that card was just like,
Yeah,
my God, they were firing off on all cylinders.
Not to throw, you know, co-owner Zach under the bus, but like we're a little over time and that stresses some people out.
It stresses us all out.
And it's hard, you know, because at BZW, we've sort of tried to come up with this 2.5 hour, 2 hour and 40 minute, even on the big show.
Yeah.
This 2.5 hour, 2 hour and 40 minute formula where it's like, oh, we kind of know how long we can keep your attention. We kind of know. Yeah. The time commitment you're willing to make. Yeah. We made it a 5 and under get in free. So we kind of understand that you have bedtime. Like we, you know what I mean? We have those type of understandings. And there are other promotions, I mean, here in town that will doors at 9,
yep.
21 plus like that. Yep. And that, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, 100%.
There's nothing wrong with that. But we have sort of a different angle. Mm-hmm. And so for that crowd to be as hot as they were for 3 hours and 23 minutes was just incredible.
It's amazing.
Have you ever worked anything like that?
That is probably close to, if not the largest crowd that I've worked in front of. I know I've worked in front of like 800 seat houses before, in different capacities.
Sure.
But as far as wrestling in front of that many people, yeah, that was, that, like I said, I keep going back to electric, but it was shocking. It was amazing.
And that has to make the moment that much sweeter. We'll talk about that then.
Absolutely.
You had your promo at the prior Winter Slam, so a calendar year.
Yep. February 5th, technically. But
yes. Yep. I shouldn't say a calendar year, a BZW year.
There it is.
And, you know, then you and I spoke in Bismarck, and you kind of
reiterated.
We were looking for clarity. Like, okay, what does this actually mean? You said, I got to have a title or I'm done.
Yep.
And so, and we just talked about this, and I don't know when you guys are going to get this, you guys being the audience. I had Jack Ledger and Bobby Brennan in here to talk about their trilogy. Unbelievable.
They're doing well?
Unbelievable, yes.
That was a crazy match.
It was. But what we talked about a lot in that discussion was long-term storytelling in independent wrestling and how hard that is and why it makes Below Zero Wrestling special. Mm-hmm. So many times, and I'm not saying this to be critical, but you go to a different promotion and it's like, well, we're just going to have 3 bangers, yep, then an intermission, mm-hmm, and then 2 more bangers, and we're going to send you home. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. again, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think what makes BZW special is if you've been along for the whole ride.
It lends itself to an amazing fan base. You know, people absolutely who want to stick with you.
Yeah.
Not there's anything wrong with, you know, just showing up and just knocking the skulls. 100%. There is that.
Yeah, yeah.
There is fun within that, too. But the long-term storytelling, you know, you take the people on a ride. They're way more invested. And that's the great thing about the BZW fans and the universe itself is that, you know, they want to go on the ride.
Yeah,
you know, and I wanted to take them on a ride. Like, yeah, so I'm thank you so much, BZW Universe, My Beard Addicts, Fear the Beard. I'm so, so happy that you came along with me on this ride. Thank you so much.
And let's talk a little bit about the lead up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you had a good, I would say, BZW 2023.
Yeah.
Wins here, missed opportunities.
Couple missed opportunities, right? Lessons so learned.
You got it, ended up to the point where your actual only opportunity was your last one. I shouldn't say that because I guess technically in Bismarck, had you won that match, you would have been the champ. But you never actually got, which is fine because there's the strap right there, but yep. you never got your one on one shot at anyone. I mean, it just did not maybe work out as linearly as you might have hoped.
No, I was pushing for it, too. I was on the phone or sending emails or sending DMs to Nick and Zach the entire time. It's like, hey, you need to get me on this next show because we need to finish this. I'm ready. You know I'm ready. I'm ready. And they kept telling me, it's like, we have an opportunity for you. We're going to make this happen. You just have to have us fit it in where it works properly for us.
So how big was that win in Horace then, where it was like, okay, I have to get this dub because we're not, and Nick and I both said that leading up to the holiday special, which was, we are not going to book a show between now and Winter Slam. We're just not going to do it. We want to build to Winter Slam. We don't have anything we love in January. We're not going to run another Fargo show in January when we have, you know, Winter Slam coming up. So
I knew that was my last opportunity to really showcase to the owners and to the people of the BZW universe that it was my last opportunity to show them, hey, I'm over ready.
Yeah.
Let's get this done. And I remember that was supposed to be against Mr. Lucky Lund out of South Dakota.
But yeah,
he had to pass because of some personal issues, unfortunately. And if he's ever willing to come back, you know, I'd love to take him up on the challenge again.
Sure.
Obviously, different circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely.
I knew. And man, that old rivalry with Matthias as well, too. Everyone I talk to just loves seeing him getting kicked in the face or choked out. Yes. So
The real bonus for Jamestown was people got to see him lose twice, which was fun because you talk about Lucky Lund not being able to make the show. We had some weather issues, we had some injury issues. Like, that show was crazy. And as you mentioned, yeah, Matthias went down twice.
He gets so frustrated, he just his eyeballs will pop out. Just, you know,
let's talk about somebody that I would almost consider sort of the antithesis of Matthias and. Yes. I think we have to take a time to give DeLorean his flowers because
110%.
Nick and I sort of viewed this title as the IC title, and that's not to downgrade it, but it's like, who comes to every show? Mm. Who puts on a great match every show? DeLorean. Who's going to be willing to defend that title on every show? Because we were coming fresh off the heels of, you know, Jack dropping the belt to Gino and Gino just running away with the belt for seven months.
It's like, what are you doing, dude? And he just runs back down south. I'm like,
and so
I would catch him at other shows too. It's like, hey, are you coming back to Fargo, man?
You have our belt.
I'm coming back when I mean to, you know, I'm just like, okay.
So again, the workhorse title, the title, the work rate title, who's going to put on a banger title. And so, again, you didn't pin DeLorean, which again is fine, and the match was tremendous, by the way. And
thank you.
The crowd loved it. It was hard hitting. The ending was awesome. The moment, you know, that was all great. But, and we will talk about that. But DeLorean, as I mentioned, and honestly too, because of some of the moving parts of this show or that show, really WinterSlam was the first time in a long time, because Summer Night's Main Event, we lost Morrison to travel issues and had some other stuff that happened.
Right.
Jamestown, a billion things happened. We had a little bit of a hiccup here and there, as you mentioned, Lucky London. Then one of the tag teams showed up like 7 minutes before their match in Horace, which is, we're not making, I mean, that's the business, especially in the winter.
People don't know, especially up here in winter country. Like, sometimes you can't make it. You do your best, but, you know, if it's winter, you know, winter gets in the way, and sometimes people can't make it. And that's a pro wrestling show. Sometimes we need to change it on the fly.
And sometimes, you know, those on the fly changes is you have a singles match and it's, well, hey, you know, this guy drove 4 hours to wrestle. We really going to send him home with a handshake?
Yeah, no.
And then all of a sudden D'Lo's match is a triple threat, or D'Lo's match is a, you know, and the one-on-one match that he gets is with Bobby Brennan in Jamestown, and he wins, but it's because Jack interfered because Jack was mad at Bobby about something else. So very few true like one-on-one opportunities for D'Lo.
True.
But man, his win at Summer Night's Main Event was just incredible, and like I said, the man needs his flowers because he was an unbelievable Sub-Zero champion.
No, I've been a fan of D'Lo from the very beginning, almost like in awe, really. He was one of the with Below Zero. He was one of my first. He was my first singles match with Below Zero, actually, just. Just an amazing athlete to compete against, truly.
Yeah.
I didn't win that match. It was a difficult match. I was a different tactician back then.
Sure.
I'd learned a lot. It's been a couple of years since then, but I'd learned a lot in the process. But even then, he was amazing. And after I left that match, I became a fan. As much as I hated losing.
Sure.
That particular match, he won me over, and I knew I needed to follow this man.
For
so
sure.
He's, you know, definitely deserving of the BCW IC Sub-Zero Championship belt, 100%.
So you hit your finish.
Yes.
1, 2, 3. And we talked a little bit about this off air. That crowd. And I know you're billed from Fargo. We're in Fargo. Like, you're going to get the hometown
That's
pop.
Help. But
like,
help.
That, I think that pre-match video package, for those that hadn't followed the story yet,
they know where we're at.
I think that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I mean, you were treated like a hero. They went bananas for you. Just
jumped out of their seats. Babies were flying.
Yeah.
Like, grab the babies.
You're feeling kind of inside when Alex's hand goes down. That's three, and you know you're not.
Oh.
Your career's not over. And
no,
that's you're the champ. I mean, just your whole feeling there.
Main thing is, like, you know, this whole preparation was to be like, you know, if I can't be at the top, I'm going to go be at the top at something else.
Yeah,
you know, but I want to give it my best shake. I want to give it my hardest try. And train as hard as I could. I'm in the best shape of my life. You know, that's one of the craziest things that I can say as well, too. You know, I grew up a fat kid, you know.
Sure.
So I didn't, abs, what are abs, you know?
And I have an ab.
I have an ab, right? But really developing that in later in life, in my adulthood, and then, you know, going for this opportunity for BZW and really, like, I'm a person who's goal oriented.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to set something in front of me and I'm going to obtain it. And if I can't obtain it, and I'm going to do everything I can to obtain it, I'm going to take every avenue that I can to try to obtain that. And if in that pursuit, if in that process, I cannot do that, you know, I can at least say that I did everything that I could to get that.
Yeah. You left it out there.
I left it out there, you know?
Okay, so we're talking about one of probably the high points of your life. I mean, I don't know you that well, but it had to have been.
It was.
That had to have been pretty cool to raise a title over your hand and have literally 1,000 people cheering you.
Just cheering Jake Taylor, Fear the Beard.
Yep.
Like I said, they were up out of their seats. I was feeling the love so amazing from the BZW universe and from all the fans and all the beard addicts out there.
Seriously. Sharp dress man hits. How much love are you feeling at that point?
I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, are you serious right now? Is like, I like, we're not done. We're not done. I just
also,
raised
you're not
this
booked.
Belt.
You're not like, you're not on the show.
No, I checked the run sheet, man. I was like, what the heck's going on here? And like Sharp Dressed Man, I know whose music that is. Like, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing coming out here, Sly? This is my moment. Like, I've been working an entire year for this. You don't even look like you play basketball or walk your dogs. Like, what's going on? You gonna pull a hamstring walking your dogs or something, dude? It's like, did you see the belly on him? Maybe he needs to put the drinks down a little bit, okay? Because he's got to change. Like, what do you like? I was so upset. I was talking, like, if you go back and watch the footage, I'm like, what are you doing in here? This is my moment. Right. How dare you? Like, I've worked so hard for this, but then he started.
Sure.
Oh, Jake. Hey, we're here for the hometown friend, Jake.
Did you buy that 0%?
0%. So when he was trying to get me to join him and his new Sly's guys, I'm like, no, you're not an honorable man. There's no way, dude.
And that was what was interesting, because we've talked about on the show, because we, you know, Nick and I try to kind of, we're not on TV. BZW's not on TV. We don't have episodes. We talked about that with Bobby and Jack, where they're telling a 2-year long story with no weekly TV, no even monthly TV. And we try to use the podcast as kind of a connective tissue, sure, where we're recapping every show and previewing every show. So anybody that wants to can kind of...
And I know the YouTube channel helps that out too.
Yep, get filled in. And and so when we talk about Sly, the last 5-6 conversations we've had about him have kind of been sad.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
He just keeps losing it one after the other.
And everything that happened, you know, Mac chokeslams him and Matthias walks out on him. And oh, maybe there's a spark because he showed up with the system and the system as a manager. And
yep,
then they lose that match. And it's like Sly's guys, far as we knew, Sly's guy was a guy who wasn't even there.
Right. Because, I thought it was just Sly.
Right. Or at the most, Sly in the system, who we knew was not there.
Right.
And then Mr. Incredible, who had been an honorable man, as you say. I mean,
that's so disappointing.
Fought Bobby to, you know, honestly, probably had a good chance of beating Bobby in Bismarck, that takes a hammer to the head. And maybe that kind of thing knocked some aggression out in him, or Sly just made him an offer he couldn't refuse, because that had to be surprising. And then pretty quickly, not so much fun.
No, it wasn't fun at all, honestly. Well, because at first he's announcing Mr. Incredible. And I'm like, oh, crap. Wait, he's a Sly guy now?
Yeah, he doesn't work with you.
He doesn't work with you. What are you talking about? So I was like, okay, I'm waiting for him to come out because I'm going to talk him down. And he's pointing towards the entrance and I'm waiting for him. Then all of a sudden I get swung around and I can't even, like, who's holding me right now? Yeah. And then it's like, oh, my goodness. It's incredible. And then I'm up in the air. I left my body as I hurled down to the mat. It was, and I couldn't, I didn't know where I was at. And I finally got my bearings together. I tried to get back up, turn back around. I got met in the face with a chained fist. And I went back and I watched the video later. Sly pulled that out of his pants. He orchestrated this whole thing just to beat me down for my title that I just won. How dare you, dude? You don't even give me 30 seconds to live in the gloom, man. And you're just gonna, like, he is on the top of my list for the person that if he's at the show, we're going 100%.
And that's a great way, as they say in the business, to jump the line. Because you know, in the past, we've certainly had qualifying matches for who might take on Kyle Pro when he was the champion. And sometimes guys just get booked, right? You know, the four-way that we kind of put together was just based on some wins and losses and, you know, kind of who deserves this shot or that shot. Yeah. And of course, we want to give as many guys the shot. I mean, that's why you have 4-way matches and a 3-way matches for the title. When we have an event like Winter Slam, we're trying to get people on the card. We're trying to get as much shine on as many people as we want. But
I think so as well, too. Know,
I would say there's nothing that Mr. Incredible has necessarily done in the ring
no.
in the ring to be the top of your list.
No,
for the Sub-Zero title, but
no, I was a fan of Incredible. You don't understand. It's like I looked up to that man, and then now he was coerced. He had to have been tricked or something by Sly to do what he did. And he came in, he rock bottomed me, hit me across the face with a chain, and I'm still, you know, just at odds with myself about it, because here's another man that I looked up to for his sheer raw strength and his athleticism, and I don't know how to feel about that. But if he is willing to, you know, shake hands with the sleazy, gross, sly guy that Sylvester J. Fox is, then I don't have any other choice but to prove to him that he needs to not be with him anymore. And if that means I have to take on Mr. Incredible, where and when?
So that's,
I'm there.
Would you say that's what's on the menu for you now? I mean, that you...
That's my next one.
Okay.
Like, I don't care who gets in between. It's all just training. Because there's no way that I'm losing this BZW Sub-Zero title championship belt. There's no way. There's no way I'm losing it. I'm not losing it from here until I face Incredible. Because if this is what they're after, they can come and get it.
All right.
Come and get it, Mr. Incredible.
Jake Taylor, congratulations, man. That was super fun to watch. Thank you so much for coming out here, coming on the show.
Thank you, Rocky.
This has been great. And wrestling fans, we will catch you next time.
Fear the Beard.